Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupo, StonePierce.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, bringing you a teaching today, and this is kind of strange for me. I'm walking around a parking lot. We just pulled up to our parking spot, and it's not dark yet. Usually, I do my teachings, and it's a lot of times late at night because things get going, we're busy. But today, I get to do a walkthrough and do my teaching. So I hope you're going to enjoy this. Today, we're going to talk about, are you ashamed of Christ? Are you ashamed of Christ? Yeah, this is an important topic. We're going to walk through this. And what we're going to talk about is, you know, as we saints, speaking to saints here, and seekers, if you're thinking, contemplating, counting the cost to follow Christ, as we walk through this world and we seek to serve God in holiness and obedience, so many things are against us. Virtually everything's against us. The enemy, Satan, his culture, his kingdom, people all around us, family, friends, careers, our flesh, man-made religion, on. And we're called to stand for our faith, stand for Christ, stand for the truth of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, Paul says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we're to stand in the power of God. And this means we're to not be ashamed of Christ, the Word, the Spirit, the Gospel. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Are you ashamed of Christ? And this came about because recently, as Sister Amon and I are headed north, you know, we are like the shepherds with sheep. We migrate to go where the pastures are. In the wintertime, we go down south to preach where the events and people are outside, and then when summer comes, we head north and we go to events because everyone's outside then. And so we're like the shepherds and we migrate. And recently, as we're coming north, we went through a town in Missouri that we know very well and they know us well. In fact, last fall we walked their beloved Apple Festival, and I walked the parade route and preaching Christ crucified, and we walked all around for about half of the day preaching Christ crucified at their Apple Fest. This whole town knows us. It's loaded with Anabaptists who hate us. It's loaded with Baptists and other religious people that hate us. And when we were there, I found it interesting. This last time, you could see, you could feel almost people looking at us with disdain, people ignoring us, some people saying things. One lady, a Mennonite lady, came up. We know she knows who we are, and she created a little bit of an issue. We posted about her, and just on. So it got me to thinking about, you know, and Sister Amon and I looked at each other, and we said, wow, this is not, well, we're used to this. I mean, this happens, but in this town, it was kind of unusual. And we said, wow, you know, being looked down upon for Christ, wow, we got to hold our heads up high and not be ashamed. The Bible says rejoice when you're persecuted, when you're called out for the name of Christ, right? Isn't that awesome that the Bible says we can do that? So that's why this teaching came about. If you stand for Christ, whether you're a street preacher or just a godly saint, you're going to have people in your family, your friends, your neighborhood, your town oppose you. If you have ministry and you do it online and you do it traveling all over, many, many people are going to oppose you. And we have to stand and not be ashamed of Christ or the gospel. That's our call. That's our charge. So we're going to talk about what it is, the different areas and aspects of being ashamed. And so that's what brought about this teaching. So let's explore ashamed and how we can be ready to not be ashamed till we die or till he comes for us, right? That's what I want to do. I want to edify you in not being ashamed and then teach you what we can do, the different parts, different aspects of being ashamed. And then let's talk about how we cannot be ashamed. So the Word of God, I'm a word guy. The Word of God uses the word ashamed about 111 times, Old Testament, New, roughly like 85 times in the Old, 25 times in the New, something like that. And what I want to do is I want to explore some of these meanings and then hone in on the main one that we're focused on, and that is, are you ashamed of Christ? But there's other ashames in between there. I think you'll be surprised how it's used in the Bible and the New Testament word, as we're going to look at mostly. And it's a warning for us. All right, so here we go. Ready? The different aspects of ashamed. Ready? Or unashamed. Ready? You can be unashamed. So your actions are pure. You're not in sin. You're unashamed. You can be ashamed by your sin. Okay? You can be ashamed of other people's sins and their actions towards you. You can be ashamed of the Lord who bought you with his blood. And you can be assured of who Christ is and not ashamed. And ready? God can be unashamed of us. So that's like the various ones that I'm looking at that I've seen. And so in the scriptures. So we're going to talk about some of those going through some scripture verses. Okay, let's get right to it. Genesis 2:25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. All right, so this is before the fall of man, before the sin. That word ashamed is boosh. It means just what it means. This is one of these rare words where in Hebrew and in English, it like means the same exact thing. It doesn't have a bunch of nuanced meanings to it. It means the same exact thing. It means to be ashamed, disappointed, shameful. Yeah. Same thing in the Greek. When we get there, we'll see that. So in this case, Adam and Eve had no sin. They weren't ashamed. So if you and I want to not be ashamed before God, we should walk in a manner that we don't live in sin. The Bible teaches that all over, does it not? Yeah. It's not just that Christ takes our sin and cleanses us. We're supposed to walk in a way that we be unashamed before God, blameless, pure, spotless. As James 1:27 says, pure religion is to be unspotted from the world. How about this one? 2 Samuel 10:4-5. Wherefore, Hanan took David's servants, shaved off half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards grow, and then return. All right, so I find that interesting, right? We're always teaching about how to dress your temple, whether it's head covering, wearing a tunic or a dress, not putting on makeup, jewelry, not getting tattoos. Do you notice what it says? That they were ashamed because their clothing was cut and it only covered halfway to their buttocks, it says. What does that say? It says, to the middle, even to their buttocks. Cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks. So if they're wearing a long tunic or robe, they cut it off the middle, their buttocks were showing. Yeah, they were embarrassed, and half their beard was cut off. That was shameful for a man's beard to be cut off. So in this culture, very few men wear beards, and most men are showing off that body part that the Bible's talking about, their buttocks. Yeah, most women do as well. So I don't think I'm being graphic because those are Bible words right there. So just that's first a little side note there. But again, the word ashamed here is kolon. It means to wound, insult, to confuse, to hurt. So these men were ashamed because someone hurt them. Remember, that's one of the definitions we had. You can be ashamed because of someone else's sin. And so that's another aspect of ashamed. David mentions others ashamed of their own actions. Psalm 6:10. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return to be ashamed suddenly. So the hope is that you live in a righteous way and the enemies are so ashamed standing against God and God's people. They're ashamed of their own ways. Even Peter says, let those that would speak against you be ashamed or have nothing to say against you. So that's by living spotless and blameless. Same word, boosh, to be shameful, disappointed. David also speaks of not being ashamed of the Lord. Psalm 25:2. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. So David didn't want to be ashamed and have defeat before God. He wanted to be unashamed. It's the same word, boosh, shamefulness. David wanted to be bold and not ashamed in the Lord. That should be something that we all want as well, right? David was a man who did fall into sin, but he repented and he made up for that, meaning he cried out to God. God redeemed him, washed him, cleansed him, and he didn't live that way again. And because of his Redeemer, he was able to be cleansed for that. He walked in the covenant that God had given him. In this next verse, we see David taking it in a direction that I really want to go. It's a little windy out here. I hope you can hear me. And here's the direction I want to go. Psalm 31:17. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in their grave. So we're leaning towards David not being ashamed of the Lord. And that's what this whole teaching is about. Are you ashamed of Christ? We're going to get there. Bear with me. David says, let me not be ashamed of the Lord, but let them be ashamed, those evil doers. So David wants to stand in the Lord. He wants to be shown that which is right and live right, not be disappointed, not be ashamed by his faith. We're going to get to Brother Paul, who gives us some good pointers on how we can live an unashamed life. That's coming up. How about Prophet Isaiah talks about idolaters that will be ashamed. Isaiah 42:17. They shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed, that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are gods. Yeah, so they're going to be ashamed because of their idolatry. What, I don't know anything greater that could bring a shame than idolatry against a holy God. And then we have Ezra. We're still in the Old Testament. Ezra talks about shame from their own sin. Ezra 9:6. And he said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up into the heavens. Yeah, Ezra was ashamed of what Israel had become. They were marrying pagan women against the ordained ways of God. Yeah, and this brings shame. Sin brings shame, but there's other things that can bring shame as well. We'll get to that. So to not be ashamed is a key aspect to our lives as we're following Christ. And to be in virtue and not ashamed is a great value. How about this one? Proverbs 12:4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. I have that. Sister Amma's a virtuous woman. Praise God for that. I'm so grateful. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. See that? A wife that would bring sin and shame to her husband is like rottenness in the bones. Wow, that kind of hurts even thinking about that. Yeah, so same word, boosh, shameful in the Hebrew. So by sins and actions and ways and rebellion, we are brought to shame. That's the whole point here. And what we see is we can be unashamed like Adam and Eve by good actions and not sin, ashamed by our own sinful ways, as we were talking about. We can be ashamed of other sinful ways. And we're going to see that also we can be ashamed by our standing in the Lord. And then God can be assured of us and unashamed. Let's keep going in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 2:26, he gives us a great example. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets. So it's by their own sin that Israel is ashamed. And it brings us, again, it's a redundant message here, it brings us shame if we live in sin and rebellion and idolatry against God. And we're going to get to the bigger issue. Can people be ashamed of Jesus Christ himself? It's one thing to be ashamed of your own sin, but to be ashamed of Christ himself? We're going to get there. All right, last verse from the Old Testament, Zephaniah 3:11. It shows how God is going to remove our shame, kind of an archetype of Jesus. Zephaniah 3:11. In that day shall thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. So God's going to act. He's going to move in Israel. Ultimately, he's going to send the Messiah, and it's going to change all of this, bring people from shame to be unashamed. That's what our Savior did for us. What a glorious gospel. What a glorious Savior we have. I think I do have one more verse from the Old Testament. Joel 2:27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. So yeah, when he moves, when he acts, and he's among them, and he's leading them, guiding them, and they're faithful to him, no reason to be ashamed, right? Goes along with Zephaniah. Like I said, it's an archetype of Christ to come, his death, burial, his resurrection that removes our guilt and our shame before God. So that's kind of really important while we're talking about this, those archetypes from the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, the Israelites were constantly in shame and ashamed over their sin, as well as their rebellion and idolatry against God. This brings on great shame. No different in the New Testament. We're going to see, you live in sin, you're going to have shame. Israel was not a good example to us. Let us be a good example to others around us. We should always try to be good examples. So let's go on to the New Testament. Christ appears. He's the Lamb. He's the Savior. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And in his teachings, he goes right to the ashamed ways of people. We need to take notice here. These are the words of Jesus Christ. All of the Bible is the words of Jesus Christ, but these are the words he actually spoke as the Word made flesh. First, Luke 13, 16, 17, Jesus heals a woman on the Sabbath and then is unashamed about it. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had heard these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So he brought shame to his enemies by his pure actions, right? So that's another one of those aspects we talked about. Same word here, or it's different, I'm sorry, Greek word here, and it means the same thing, ashamed, shameful. There's not a lot of definition here. It's this particular quality, shamefulness or embarrassed, doesn't have a lot of difference between the Greek and the Hebrew and the English. There's not a lot of words that they put in there as translations. It clearly means shameful and to be shamed. Let's go on to Mark 8:35, the words of Jesus. 8:35 through 38. These are very powerful words to us. Ready? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. I preach that all the time. Ready? For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he loses his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Right here. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father with the holy angels. Did you catch that? Christ says to be ashamed of him and his word. That's the scriptures. Yeah, him and his word. That's the key there. Remember that. He says he'll be ashamed of us. That doesn't mean you're going to get taken to the kingdom of God. That means ashamed means it's going to be away from me, I never knew you type of situation. You worker of iniquity. You're not ashamed of your Redeemer. Makes sense, doesn't it? Wrath is coming for those that live in shame. It really comes down to it's a reap what you sow situation. You're ashamed of God, he'll be ashamed of you. Right? You proclaim him, he'll proclaim you. You know him, he'll know you. You draw close to God, he draws close to you. You see how God's ways are not unconditional. They're always conditional in a covenant where we're doing our will and our part with our Heavenly Father. So it's basically like a denial to be ashamed of Christ. Matthew 10:33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So it's the same thing. Ashamed, denial, basically same thing. To be ashamed is something that we have to root out of our life. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Remember Brother Peter, he denied Christ three times and then the rooster crowed and he was devastated by it. He was grieved by it. He repented, praise God, but he was ashamed to name himself ashamed. He denied the Lord. He did all the same way. And so we have to be careful of that. We don't want to be like a Peter, even though all of us could have done the same thing, probably in the same situation, who knows? We want to be strong for the Lord, in the Lord, and not be ashamed of him. We're going to get to a bunch of verses on that. Let's move on to Brother Paul. Goes on to talk about an ashamed warning, and the hope of God is a remedy. Remember I talked about some of the things we could do to not be ashamed? Romans 5:5. And the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So hope maketh us not ashamed. So if you set your eyes on the hope of Christ and the hope of the gospel, his death, burial, resurrection, repentance to it, the new life he gives you, holiness and obedience to follow after him and endure, that's your great hope. That should give you assurance to not be ashamed of the gospel, right? So there's one point that we can work on to not be ashamed and be unashamed before the Lord. Paul talks about sin bringing in shame. Romans 6:21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Sin leads to death, Paul tells us in Romans 6. Sin leads to shame. To be ashamed is to live in sin. Here's a bold statement. Ready? This is about Christ. Romans 9:33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So I'm going to say this. Ready? You can challenge this. I think if you really believe on Christ with a saving faith, you're not ashamed. I think if you're ashamed, you're falling back from your saving faith. You're falling back from your hope. Paul just said it, and he says it here. Think about that. To be ashamed means we're falling back from a saving faith that pulls us through the grace of God, the faith that God gives us, and then we clamp onto it by this covenant we're in. I think we're falling back if we're ashamed. Think about that. Ponder that one. In this next verse, Paul gives another recipe for not being ashamed. Take note of these. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul was not ashamed, and his boldness, ready to die for the cause of Christ and the gospel, helped him to not be ashamed. If you are ashamed of Christ, maybe you're not bold enough. You don't got to be bold like me, a street preacher, or bold like Paul, an apostle, but maybe you got to be bold enough to stand up to your family, your neighbors, your people that you work with, people in your town. Stand up for the cause of Christ. Boldness is going to help dissuade being unashamed, or I should say being ashamed in Christ, and it will put away that idea that you are embarrassed or ashamed of Christ. And I know, I've been there. It's easy when persecution comes and you got to stand alone. It's easy. It's easy to pull back, to fall back, to go silent, to not do what God's called you to not preach the gospel, to not hand it out, to not dress, act, live, talk the way you know you should. That's to be ashamed. That's a denial of Christ. But Paul's encouraging us, as the rest of the Bible is, to be unashamed and not be ashamed. 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There you go. You want to work on not being ashamed? Be a partaker of the afflictions of Christ and focus on Christ's testimony. There's another helper to not be ashamed. Ponder that. Think about that one. Here's another one. Paul was sure of Christ, thus he was not ashamed at all. 2 Timothy 1:12. For which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against the day. Paul had faith and confidence in who Christ was and what Christ was doing in his life. He didn't need to be ashamed. Now, if you don't have a strong faith, and if you're wavering on your faith, and you're not focused on Christ, and you're not believing with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving God, you're probably going to be ashamed. You're going to waver. There's another pointer, how to not waver and how to not be ashamed of Christ. Here's another one. Paul says, study to not be ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, you might say, well, that's not being ashamed of God. That's being ashamed that you haven't studied enough. Well, I'm just going to say, if you really are not ashamed of God and you know who you are in Christ and you believe Christ, why aren't you studying? Why aren't you putting yourself in a place to be studied, to be approved? I think the two are kind of tied together. Remember, saving faith is going to put you in a place where you're not ashamed of Christ. Does that make sense? I hope that does make sense. I love this one. Jesus isn't ashamed of his saints. You want to get guilted here? Let us all get guilted. We have any kind of shamefulness about God? Listen to this. For both he that sanctifieth they and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. If you're really born of God and you're really his child and you're living for the kingdom, he is not ashamed to call you his brethren. Let that sink in. Wow. Christ, the perfect one, the Messiah, the Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega. He is not ashamed to call us his brethren. Yet, we might be ashamed to call him Lord. There's something wrong with that picture. We really need to search the depths of our heart and make sure that that is not so of us and our actions are not causing shame to the Lord. I really love that verse right there. Ponder yourself, test yourself, ponder and test yourself there. God's not ashamed to be their God. Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country. Oh, I like this. And that is an heavenly. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Yeah, we're waiting for an eternal city. Sister Amon and I talk about that all the time. Her and I have no city. We have no town. We have no place. We have no land. We have no ground. All we got is a camper van that we got to move all the time. And we're looking for that great city to come. And I love that. God's not ashamed to be called our God. Once again, you're going to be ashamed of God? He's not ashamed to call you his brethren or to be your God. Ponder that. This should be a conviction from the Holy Spirit for all of us on how to live better and live in these ways that we're not ashamed of our Savior. Peter chimes in right here in talking about ashamed. 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. That would be your conduct, your life. Peter's saying, hey, they're going to be ashamed to even say stuff about you. If they were honest, they'll say, wow, well, that was shameful. We lied about Peter or Paul or whoever. Yeah. We should rejoice when it comes to causing we should rejoice when it comes to having persecution come upon us and not be ashamed and the trials that we go through. Ready? 1 Peter 4:16-17. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, that would be persecution, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgments must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? You see that? God's going to expect us to judge our lives and our houses and our bodies strong and hard so that we can not be ashamed and we can stand strong and that we won't be ashamed of our Savior. We'll be looking for his coming with great hope and not with hesitant. There won't be any hesitancy in us. And John finishes out the New Testament on being ashamed. 1 John 2:28-29. And now, little children, abide in him, that when ye shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. I love that. Don't be ashamed at his coming. You looking for his coming? Are you excited? Are you happy? Are you glad? Whether it's your death or his second coming. Or are you ashamed to say, well, I don't really know if I believe Jesus is coming? And, you know, I hear that in the street all the time. You really believe a big man in the sky is going to come back? And people go, well, they're ashamed. They're ashamed of what God's word says. They're ashamed of what Jesus said, I'm coming back. We can't be ashamed, saints or seekers, if you're listening, if you're going to follow Christ. We can't be ashamed at all. So we're going to recap here. Scripture, if we study it, what we're going to find out is, to be of Christ, to be in Christ, if we're bold in him, right? And if we walk not in sin, and if we seek righteousness, we don't have to be ashamed. Go back and read those points that Paul talked about. Studying, keeping your eyes on Christ, knowing who Christ is. Go back, listen to this again, and go back and read those verses. And all those pointers, all those edification points about not being ashamed, That's going to help us all. I saved maybe the best one for last from Brother Paul, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Yeah, so ponder that. Ponder those verses about not being ashamed. Ponder your life. I'll do the same with mine. How are we walking? How are we living? You know, if you know you have to dress different, are you doing that? And are you doing it for the glory of God and not being ashamed? You know you have to witness the gospel. Are you doing it and not being ashamed? You know you have to separate from pagan holidays and family events and family members because you don't want to approve of their sin. How are you doing it that? Are you ashamed? Are you bold? Are you glorious in it? Are you proclaiming Christ in it? When you talk about his coming, think about his coming. Are you happy about it? Are you, when people mock it, are you, you know, people mock like the story of Noah's Ark. Are you ashamed? Or do you believe God's word? Do you know it's true? So go back, if you have to. We covered a lot of scripture verses. Go back and listen to those and those pointers about how to be assured and not be ashamed in Christ at his coming. And I hope that's edified you. There's a lot of different areas of shame, being ashamed, being unashamed. Go ponder that. Go study that. We all have strengths and weaknesses. What are yours? What are mine? Let us find them out. Then let's build them up in Christ, in the word. And you let me know how I can help you in that. That's what we are here for, don'tperish.com. Me and Sister Amen, traveling, preaching Christ crucified. We just got to our new camp spot tonight. We're headed somewhere soon. I'm not sure where. And so just want to give God glory for his word, his truth, and his ways. And he lets us keep coming and bringing it to you and edifying anyone who will listen for free. We don't want anyone's money. All we want you to do is open the scriptures, lift up Christ, repent and obey the gospel, and do not be ashamed of this glorious Savior, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God. Hey, we love you all. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. Down the gospel road we go. We love you all. May God be praised.